I am Bill Courtwright with Living Right with Bill Courtwright, and this is the Stress Mastery Podcast, where we take you from the science to the spirituality of stress mastery.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode here at the Stress Mastery Podcast. I am your host, Mark Middlestead, along with David, the Super Millennial. This week, our topic is Perfect Imperfection. And on today's Wednesday's episode of the Stress Mastery Podcast, David and I are going to discuss the fear of criticism. You got anything you want to throw out there before we get started?
No, I'm excited. After doing the last episode, I'm excited for what comes out of this one.
All right. Well, we'll see if it's perfect.
Yeah, right.
Okay. I think that perfection is one of the most misleading goals we could ever attempt to achieve. Almost everything we do, no matter how much time and energy we put into it, is going to fall short of perfection. So why do we chase it? Why do you think we chase after perfection?
I think that's because what we're told. I was told to try to be perfect and try to be the best you can be and all that stuff. And I that just seems like the right thing to do, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely think a lot of it has to do with, our programming growing up.
Yeah.
I think the reason why we seek perfection in everything we do is out of the fear of criticism. The criticism from our own inner self and certainly our ego, but far more importantly, fearing what others are going to think. We're afraid of what others are going to think if whatever we're attempting to do is seen as some kind of failure to achieve perfection in their eyes. And I also think that this fear comes from our faulty programming. Ever since we were born, there have been expectations to live up to. Anytime we've met someone's expectations of us, we got a reward of some kind. At least a compliment or something that acknowledged our attempt. Anytime we did not meet someone's expectations, we were punished. Now, sometimes that punishment was nothing more than just not even being recognized for trying. You know, I listened to yours and Bill's podcast where you guys talked about participation trophies as being rather useless. And, I completely understand. If you want that trophy, you should really be working hard and doing everything you can to attain that. But consider this. Imagine being that kid who's trying to please his parents or his friends or perhaps even himself by playing some sport he likes, but he also knows he's not very good at it. Imagine how he perceives the players who get to play while he sits on the bench and the stars on the team getting all the recognition and he receives none. Even though he tries and works just as hard as they do. Perhaps he isn't as talented, and no matter how much work he puts into it, he'll never be good enough. Not even good enough to be recognized for even trying as hard as he can. And then he goes home to a father who's angry with him because he's not even playing much, if at all, much less being the star. And yeah, life is tough. We all have lessons to be learned. Maybe his lesson is that even though he likes playing that sport, he won't ever get on the field and certainly isn't ever going to be a star. So maybe he should do or play something else he's better at. You know, life is tough, kid. Suck it up. You better learn it now. And then he goes and he commits suicide. Do you have any idea how many people I talk with who have low self-esteem and low self-worth, giving little to no love to themselves, and they suffer from depression and possibly having suicidal thoughts? This whole idea that we need to just suck it up and deal with it doesn't mean anything to them. We just had two teenagers from our area high school commit suicide within 1 week of each other. This was just recently. Now, I'm not saying participation trophies are the answer, but far too often society's demand for perfection is leaving a lot of these teenagers feeling pretty hopeless because they aren't feeling that they're perfect enough to fit in. It's pretty hard to play this game of life when you're dead. What do you think, David?
Well, I think you said that spot on, because I feel like that's exactly what I mean when we talk like participation trophies, right? It's not meant to exclude anyone, but it's meant to kind of encourage the ones who didn't put in the effort. Now, in your situation, the person who puts in all the effort, you know, tries their very hardest. Yeah. And then there's just someone or, you know, a few people that are better than them that may not have to put in so much effort. You know, they're either taller or they're stronger or they're faster, whatever the case is. Pure genetics.
More naturally.
Yes, that person's not working as hard, but that's the same thing that you can appreciate and kind of reward effort, because that's what it boils down to at the end of the day. You know, when you take it outside of the fame or the glamour of it, it's who's putting in the most effort, you know, who's really trying the most, and who, that's the person trying to achieve perfection. The other person is maybe just trying to coast. I'm winning. I don't have to get better. So they're coasting. That person's never going to achieve perfection because they're staying the same. The other person, they're going to look at themselves 2, 3, 4 years down the road and say, wow, look at all the progress I made. And that other person is just kind of coasting through.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I'm not saying that a trophy just for being on the team is going to make a big difference. Mm-hmm. You know, because I remember my daughter getting what one would call a participation trophy, but it really wasn't for any achievement. It was just really a simple recognition for being a part of the team, kind of a keepsake or a memento that, you know, it's something to remember the time she spent playing that sport with her friends. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a trophy saying that, well, you were on the team, you didn't really try very hard, but here's a trophy, kid, you know. But, you know, how many times in our lives have we quietly strived to accomplish something, anything, and nobody even noticed us? Nobody. Striving for perfection is pretty damn hard to do, especially when you barely even notice, you know, that you're there trying. Nobody notices, you know, and you're giving it your all. And, you know, sometimes all it takes is a few simple words of encouragement that could make all the difference in the life of someone who is trying, even though they're still failing.
Yeah, I think what you said about your daughter getting that trophy to remember her time, you know, on the team and the memories and stuff, I think that's the part that doesn't get emphasized enough, because that's the whole point of this. You know, when Bill talks about like the bodybuilding competition, he's talking about the whole year. You know, the 20 minutes, 30 minutes that you're on stage is just such a small portion of it that gets recognized by others, but the year is being recognized by yourself. And I think that's more of a game than winning a trophy or having the validation of other people. It's what you said. It's to remember those memories, to know why you're doing this, and then to look back, say, wow, I got a participation trophy 5 years ago, and now we're getting first place. Mm-hmm. Or, hey, 5 years ago, I'm still getting a participation trophy, but look how far I've come, or look at the friendships I made, or how much of a person I've grown. People miss that because it's not first place. It's not gold.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, yeah, I even think of Bill doing this. I know for a fact Bill's not doing it because he's going to feel like if he doesn't get, you know, the top pick, you know, if he doesn't win it, that he's going to be disappointed.
Yeah.
I mean, he's inspired so many people, and he knows in his heart, because he's connected to his heart, he knows he's given it his best.
Yeah. And the stuff that he's learned about himself, you know, and like you said, the stories and the programs that he's kind of blown up about certain health aspects and things like that. I mean, he wouldn't have known unless he pushed himself to, of course, try to get to that perfect level. But it was the process in between that really kind of opened his eyes up more than just saying, hey, I'm getting on stage. So I 100% agree.
Yeah, I think he's discovered a lot about himself, as we all should, that when we're trying to succeed at something is really enjoy the process. That's why we're all here. That's part of the experience of life, is enjoying the process, mm-hmm. including the failures.
Yeah.
You know, because who said we had to be perfect anyway? And why is being less than perfect something that we stress over? As a spiritual teacher, my function is to help people find their true self. Not to help them become perfect or like, you know, this perfect enlightenment. It's their path, not mine. I can't tell them what path they should be on or what it will take to be perfect in whatever they struggle with. I teach them that they are already perfect beings, just as they are, even though they may not be aware of it. They don't need to compare their life to anyone else in order to be perfect or to love themselves. They were born perfect. We all were. And I think most are quite confused about it when I tell them that, because we're taught and constantly reminded how imperfect we are. We're bombarded with criticism from others that never stop showing us where we don't measure up. And the worst part is, many believe it. Not only do we believe them, we begin telling the same lie to ourselves. Society's constantly telling us we aren't good enough when we aren't in the perfect career, or that we aren't making the ideal income, or our appearance doesn't match others' idea of the perfect body or face, or whatever else that we're just not good enough at. Or in the case of kids in school, if you're not perfect at some sport or subject in the classroom, or you aren't popular enough, or you don't have the right friends, or that you just don't fit in, we're telling them, well, you basically suck at life. Mm-hmm. And not every kid is mentally strong enough or have the support they need at home to deal with that. You know, we criticize and compare ourselves to others, always looking at someone else's life in seeing some living the so-called perfect life that we try to emulate. But we don't even really know what their life is really like. People always try to present themselves as perfect to the outside world so as not to be criticized for how their life really is. Their entire life could be crumbling down around them and we'd never know it. And we probably never will know what they struggle with, because they're not going to let anyone know their life is less than perfect. You know, you guys talked about Robin Williams. What an ideal life. Apparently not to him.
Yeah, right? And I think that's the part that most people fail to realize in that sense, is that he probably enjoyed the hell out of the process getting there, you know, mm-hmm. for other people. Not for himself, because he said that so many times, making other people laugh and making other people's day brighter and all these things. But when you hear the quotes and you look back at so many of them, it's never, I did this for myself, or it makes me this. It was a lot of external. And I think perfection does that to a lot of people. It either stops you from doing anything, or it puts you on a path to not stop. And you miss everything on the way there, and sure. You never get there.
Yeah, yeah. You know, the appearance of others can be far different than what they're actually going mm-hmm. through. You know, I'll even give you a perfect example from nature. Did you know that when a bird is sick, it will skillfully yet naturally hide its illness, not just from predators, but also the bird's own flock? Do you know why they do this? Because the moment the flock is aware that the bird is sick, they know this sick bird will attract a predator that preys on the sick and vulnerable. The flock can't afford to have a predator near them, so when they see one of their own is sick, they will shun it and try to separate from it. Of course, this leaves the sick bird even more vulnerable, but the rest of the flock will be safer. And we humans really are no different. We do the same thing. We don't want anyone to know that we don't measure up. We won't allow anyone to see that we're struggling. It's a sign of weakness to show anyone how imperfect we are. We'll brag about our successes, but we keep our flaws and failures to ourselves to give the appearance of being perfect. You know, like in the bird example, just look at how we're handling the pandemic. I mean, say we have nothing more than a head cold, and what do? We try to hide it. We sure as hell can't let anyone know we're sick, you know, like we've never been sick before the pandemic happened. Now, if you sneeze or cough or even clear your throat, people avoid you. They stand back like, oh, you know, and it's like, I mean, I had a lady do that to me the other day. You know, I mean, I was out. I had a bit of a cold. You know, I think I even mentioned it to you. Like mm-hmm. I was doing my podcast. My voice was a little hoarse. I just had a cold. That's all it was. And she took like 3 steps back immediately from me. You know, I could tell she was just sensing that. Oh, no. And I'm like, it's okay. You know, we had colds long before the, you know, COVID happened, you know, and we're still going to have colds. We're still going to have the flu. We're going to have aches and pains. Not every ache and pain and struggle and problem we have with our health is COVID related.
Yeah.
But now it's in our heads and it's playing mind games with us. So, you know, I think that no matter what we do, we have to show everyone we're perfect just in order to fit in with the tribe. Even when we're barely making it work and it's stressing us out to the max, we're still not going to let it show. Just like that sick bird. We're not going to let anybody else know we're not, you know, perfect.
Yeah, and you said a big thing, because Bill mentioned it not too long about people who are homeless and stuff. You move away because those flaws are visible, you know, but you hang around with people who have just as many problems, different ones right next to you. But just because you can't see it, it doesn't affect you. But when you see somebody who's sick or, you know, homeless or something, you immediately start to cast a judgment. Oh, poor them, or oh, no, stay away from them, or whatever the case may be, because you can see it. But that's why, like you said, we hide all the flaws and imperfections, because once you show it, it's seen, and now people are going to cast that judgment. And that's why people walk around with suitcases of failures and imperfections and things like that, just to hold it on them, just because they don't want other people to see it.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I have a teenage daughter that's, you know, still at home. Well, for the most part, she's 16, has her driver's license, so she's not really at home that much. But, you know, I mean, for the past few years and everything, she's always comparing her home life and her life to her friends, which is perfectly natural when you're a teenager. You're growing up, you're trying to make some sense of this world as you're growing up, and she looks at some of her friends' homes compared to ours, and there's like, oh, wow, look at this big house. I drive her over to their house. She's going to have a sleepover or hang out with friends. And, you know, you're driving, here's this big mansion and really expensive vehicles in the driveway. And she's always judging their life versus ours. And I keep telling her, I go, do you know for a fact that they're like, what, just opening up their wallet and paying for this stuff in cash? Mm-hmm. Or are they just like, you know, neck deep in debt and they're just about ready to lose everything? How do you know? Mm-hmm. You know, you can't just look at the surface of anybody's life and say, wow, that's a perfect life. I want that life. And then you live in their shoes and you're like going, careful what you wish for. I didn't really mean it. I don't want that life, man, because I'm so far in debt now. I'm screwed, yeah. You know, but it looks perfect.
When I moved down to Miami, that was my first shock that the world isn't really what it seems. You know, where I grew up and everything like that, our friends were pretty open about what happens at their house and all that stuff. So it felt like my little group, I knew everyone had some type of struggle, or, you know, everybody's home life was very different. So I didn't know what a perfect felt like. I felt like my household, compared to everyone else's issues, I was like, mine is the perfect one, you know? And if I was okay with that, I was okay with that. When I moved down to Miami and I met a bunch of photographers that I followed in high school and stuff like that, and I was so excited to meet all of them. And it's just not what it seems. You know, a lot of those people, they're buying their way in to get their photos published. And it's not just because it's that good. It's because their pockets were that deep, you know, and you see photographers sure. with great work that don't have the money to pay for something to get put out. And you never see that, the cars and the houses and all this stuff, and listening to the struggles on how hard they have to work to keep it. Some of these successful people work 24 hours, not because they have that grind in them. It's because the house they're living on requires it. The cars mm-hmm. they drive requires it. And you build that life where you wish you can relax, but you can't put down the facade because everyone's going to see it in.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think it's interesting, you know, like being a life coach and, you know, you see like social media, if you see other life coaches out there or counselors or therapists or anything that's similar to what you do in life and you look at them and their ads are just immaculate, big time production stuff and perfect and flawed. And, you know, it's probably like a movie set, you know, they've probably got 15 recordings that are trashed mm-hmm. because something didn't come across as perfect. We got to have the perfect ad. We got to have the perfect production piece to put out there to make it look like this is the guy you want to hire.
Yeah. And you know,
and then you get to know this person. You're like going, whoa, you are like nothing like what was presented.
One
you know, and I'm kind of the opposite. I'm almost too honest with people. Yeah. Where they're like going, wow. And they tell me, you're nothing like I thought, man. I thought, you know, hey, you know, you kind of screw up here, you screw up there. And it's like, you know, I wasn't really expecting a perfect person. And it's like, but it's more real. People can relate to you when you're real and honest. And you make that point a lot when it comes to social media. People put that false person out there. So everybody has this idea about it, but they don't know that person.
Yeah, and the thing that you said about like the certain ads and things like that, doing a lot of marketing for people and social media and all that stuff, because I understand it. Whichever ad you saw was marketed towards you. It may seem perfect mm-hmm. to you, but there's 12 different versions of that going to females, going to males, going to northerners, southerners, whatever the case is. You put a category or a group into it, that ad was changed for you. You know, so when you see somebody's lifestyle, you see an ad or see anything like that, you're like, man, that is exactly what I want. That's exactly what they right. wanted you to see, you know? And then if you could see the reality, see all of the different ones, if you had to do all of them to achieve one, I'm hell no, that's a lot of work. You know, I'm good where I'm at. And when you see the reality of that, it shifts your perception of what really is perfect to you.
Oh yeah. You know, you look at like, the commercialization of almost anything in life. Now we're advertised to specifically, mm-hmm. I mean, I would love to be the fly on the wall of some advertising group that's got all the data right there and saying, okay, this is how we need to market our product. So, you know, tell that person, hey, you're nobody unless you're driving this car. Mm-hmm. You're nobody unless you're drinking this beer or wearing these clothes or having this kind of, you know, makeup or hairstyle or whatever it is. And so people look at it and going, ah, that's perfect. That's what I want. And then they look in the mirror and they're going, I am so not that. And they feel so dejected and disappointed that they don't measure up. So when that advertising hits them, they're going, oh, that's what I need. If I have that, now I'm going to be somebody.
Yeah.
And then they get it and they're going, what happened? I'm still 100%.
And that's one of the things that I'm always excited about the podcast, that there's always going to be some type of mistake, or we're very raw, regardless if, you know, that's not what we're supposed to do. But the same thing with the Go Right Lifestyle system that's coming out next year, it's no BS. It literally, when you look at the ads versus the other brands or even anything that's closer, you know, to what we're doing, it's like, why are you telling us this? You know, we're almost shocked that people don't expect us to be honest. It's like, why are you letting us know this? There's got to be something, you know, that you're trying to trick us with, because they're so used to being lied to hear what they want. Exactly. And when you're honest, it's like, no, stop lying to me. It's like, whoa, hold on.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's you know, we live in a culture now where we don't know what to believe anymore. And we're not trusting our heart. We're still so stuck in our head, and we're trusting what our egos are telling us, that everything is fake news. Everything is fake. Nothing is real. Everybody is fake. Nobody's real. You know, even the people who are authentic are thought to be fake because, well, nobody can be that real.
Yeah.
You know, like, what? Okay, what's the real reason you're trying to pretend you're so real? Because I'm flawed. That's why.
Yeah. Because I'm just like you.
Yeah, it's this perfect imperfection. You know, like I'm setting up this whole relationship course that people can do online. And I come right out and I just basically tell them, I go, why am I an expert on relationships? Because I'm 60 years old and I screwed up almost every relationship I ever have. If anybody knows what screws up a relationship, I do. You know, I mean, I'm authentic about it. You know, I've learned through my mistakes, and people can't deal with that. They still want to see perfect.
Yeah. And in reality, they don't want perfect. You know, they want what's real. But for them, and I think that's I say it all the time. Everyone's going to make mistakes. You just want to make less. And that's why when people get like a coach like you or, you know, Bill or any of us, where they're very honest with the mistakes we've made so they don't have to make it, that's how you're going to achieve closer to so-called perfection. It's because you skipped my step, the one that took me 3 steps back. So now you're 3 steps ahead. Right. When they talk to you or get any advice in the podcast or in the community, you help them skip 2 mistakes. Now they're 6, 7, 8, 9 steps forward. And that's how you really start to enjoy the process, when you're like, oh, my relationship has been perfect. It's because you got to make less mistakes. There's still going to be mistakes that they're going to have to make on their own, you know, but they skip the ones that we were able to help them kind of avoid and, you know, move forward with.
Oh, yeah. You know, and I think that's really, you know, a good way to lead out of this, that you know, we should all seek to improve our lives the best we can, but seeking perfection is not the way to go about it. You know, when I deal with clients, I want them to know that they matter and that they're not broken, regardless of what self-perceived flaws they see in themselves that won't allow them to be less than perfect. They need to know that we really are all perfect imperfection. That even without being perfect, with all our flaws, we still matter.
Yeah, I think that's the perfect way to close it. Literally, perfect. It covers everything. Right. And like you said, if you can go through without worrying about the judgment of others and loving yourself in the process, there's no need to look at perfect. You got it. You're good.
Yep, perfect imperfection.
Mm-hmm. Great.
All right. Well, that's it for today's show. Our mission here is to create a shift in the planet. You can join us on this mission by clicking like, share, and subscribe. The links are right below the show notes. As always, until next time, stay inspired.